Well, welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. Actually, before I even say we have something for you, let me just say, since today's the election, one of the things you probably notice is the music that we use as an introduction. This is a, what do you want to call it, a orchestration off of Stuart Copeland's Fanfare for the Common Man. Now, just so you understand, the song, this work, was commissioned. And I forget the guy's name because I'm terrible with names, but the former vice president of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the former vice president before Truman became vice president. What this man wanted to do was he wanted to use music as the medium to help give people a cause or, you know, a resounding effect. You know how music sometimes strikes people. It helps, you know, get them motivated. And this song was commissioned by the federal government, by the vice president of the United States, in getting people, because just remember the name, Fanfare for the Common Man. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his vice president at the time, who were pro-socialism, communism, growing the role of the state. And so what they wanted to do was use this as a, let's just say, a brainwashing or a way to subdue people into, well, it's got a good catchy tune. I mean, sometimes people do some stupid things over the music. And so back in those days, they believed that they had a good rally cry or a tune, you know, like this. It's very powerful. It gets people to come together. And as a matter of fact, the intent was to get people to actually embrace collectivism at the common man level. And so if you've ever read any history books that really give you an unfiltered view of this, of FDR's time and what he really did, I mean, most people don't understand the Blue Eagle of the day. And the Blue Eagle was a sign, it was a symbol that people used to put in their window of their shop or above their business, so people knew that this business was in compliance with the federal government. So if you want to understand how far they went into the government trying to control every facet of our lives, they did it. Just remember, during World War II, there was a gap in the production of automobiles because government ceased production for the cause of the war. Government seized production of paints and inks. That's why nothing was green. Lucky Strike, I believe, used to have a green label to it until the war. Then they had to go with red. And so if you look at even tires, you couldn't even buy a tire. So people had to patch and they used tubes and all sorts of things just to get by. People were ration cards. Or if what I think it was called, like coupon books, and they would be able to go in and get so much butter, so much flour. And so families had to pool their coupon books together, and they were forced to kind of collectivize themselves as the family just to survive the oppression of government. Now, one of the best books you could probably read that gives you a really good insight on this very specific seizure of our rights is, it's called Liberal Fascism, and I think it was Jonah Greenberg or something like that. Again, I'm bad with names, but I'm positive the first name was Jonah. And as a matter of fact, when we go to break, I'll go get the book, and when you see it, you'll go, oh, that's interesting, because it's a red cover with a big yellow smiley face. And the reason why he says fascism really will never take on the iron fist, and I'm paraphrasing, in America, is because, you know, America and Americans have to be nice. I don't believe Jonah has had the forethought, or I should say the real understanding of what happens when totalitarianism takes over and how little tolerance they have for anybody that does not support their paradigm, for anybody who goes against the grain. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence-based solutions. Let me just also add this. As I was talking about the music and this orchestration, there's also an orchestration done by Emerson, Lake and Palmer's Carnival 9, or Carnival Number 9, and it starts off with, and maybe I should use that too to go into, instead of saying welcome back, because they have this little line, welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Well, the reality is, and the reason why I don't like saying that, is because this show is going to end. This show is going to transition. And I don't mean this particular show. I'm talking about the show of life. What we're seeing today and what we're going to witness in the next few weeks is going to be another transition, because it's all about ratcheting. It's all about taking one step, one step, one step. And this closer and closer, like the imagery I gave a while back, is that we have been just basically squandering our time in the land of liberty, in a world of debauchery and debasement, where we've been allowed to indulge ourselves in so many different things. And while we've been lost in our self-indulgement, the progressives have been working and slowly migrating and positioning government, taking away your rights, taking away your liberties, and institutionalizing, or actually taking control of, all of these types of facets. I mean, if you look at the CIA, and if you look at the level of information and the deep state and what has been going on, most people don't know this. But most people have heard the story about Amazon. Do you know why Amazon never was held accountable as a public traded company? Why Amazon was never held accountable for over a decade? I believe they couldn't turn a profit in a decade. And somehow they were still constantly able, and they were getting funding. How is it that they were getting funding when they couldn't even turn a profit? You show me your business model and how you could do the exact same thing Amazon did without showing a profit. I mean, the IRS will shut companies down to say, hey, you know, after 5 years of no profit, you especially a publicly traded company. So why was it? Why was Amazon allowed to continually operate? Because Amazon, from the very beginning, as customers started signing in and creating accounts with Amazon, and everything you looked at as you were logged in and looking and even purchasing, every move you made was recorded and provided to the CIA. Did you know that? Well, if you look into the information, there's probably a real good reason now why the federal government gave Amazon really a no-bid contract for their data centers, in allowing Amazon to house all of their different levels of data. And when I say different levels, I mean classification levels. They control the data of our government. It's no longer government-controlled government employees. These are all Amazon employees. So do you think that's a good idea when you put all your eggs in one basket? I don't think so. And as a matter of fact, I don't think it's a good idea to leave it to a company like Amazon. You want to know why Amazon has become such a big, powerful monster in the world today? It's because of their relationship with the government and creating the deep state. Why do you think Google? I mean, Google had its direct ties in Obama's administration. I mean, I believe there was a vice president of Google that actually went in and helped build and develop the deep state monitoring, artificial intelligence, and so forth. And isn't it interesting how Google has been integral in the development of the social credit system and Big Brother system in China? These big tech companies are our enemies. I've been saying this for a long time. And as a matter of fact, it's been one of the things I've kind of said on a regular basis over probably the past month, 2 months, saying, quote, social media is the enemy. Our focus needs to be on them, and this is why we need to push the meme and make memes to go after them. This is why when I talk to state legislators, one of the first things I say is, why is it that the big tech companies are not paying taxes for the revenues that they make in your state? When Facebook operates in every state, when you click on a link, when you click on things, they are making money. They're making money in throwing advertisements. Every time an advertisement sits in front of you, they're making money. And the state's collecting zero money because they don't have a presence. When revenue is made in your state, it should be taxable. And this is why we're asking every state legislator to go after every one of these tech companies and start taxing them for the billions of dollars that they're making around the world, especially in their state. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so one other thing I want to do, because I haven't mentioned this probably in a couple of days, and I want to put this in context to your birthright. As a United States citizen, as a citizen of the sovereign state that you reside in, you have a birthright. You have a birthright, and a responsibility comes with that birthright of being able to live under the protections and privileges and immunities provided by the U.S. Constitution as well as your state constitution. The question is, Have you been pondering, or have you recognized what those responsibilities are as a U.S. citizen? And I'm talking to you. As a U.S. citizen, you have a responsibility. Go read the oath of citizenship. Every person that has to take an oath to become a U.S. citizen must affirm, or at least take the oath to assert, that they will protect and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. So, as we start looking at, so we have this responsibility, but what specifically are your responsibilities? I've laid them out for you. You have a responsibility to keep government in check, and you have tools given to you through the Constitution to do so. One of which is your First Amendment right of petition for the redress of grievances. Everybody should be using this. And as a matter of fact, instead of going out and protesting, we have been inbred and inculcated or brainwashed to believe that if we don't like something, we just need to protest, which means it gets us to abandon our constitutional responsibility. Why did they want to do this? Why did we get indoctrinated or brainwashed into believing that protesting was better than exercising your First Amendment right of petition? Why? It's simple, folks. Because if you petition government, they have to respond. They are obligated to respond. That goes down to the basic fundamentals and the framing of this nation. It was, I believe, Benjamin Franklin, as Bob Schultz explained it to me, Benjamin Franklin basically laid down the argument in Continental Congress 1774 that said anybody that petitions Congress or petitions their government for a redress of grievances and they do not receive a reasonable answer within a reasonable amount of time, then they are no longer obligated for paying taxes to a tyrannical government. You're not obligated to pay for them to oppress you. See, all of a sudden a paradigm kind of changes when you look at the First Amendment petitioning and why that was included. You want to know something? None of the states that requested a Bill of Rights, at least not that I'm aware of, when I went through their recommendations for amendments. Now, as I understand it, one of the things that happened when the first session of Congress occurred, Madison actually, I think, queried the state. So I don't have access, or I've never seen those documents. I would love to. I would love to see what the states, but I do know this, that every state unanimously requested religious tests. To remove the religious test, they wanted religious tests included, but they didn't get that amendment. Every state also demanded the 9th and 10th Amendments to make sure that enumerated powers could not be construed to take away our rights as citizens and as states. And they also demanded that 10th Amendment that all things not formally delegated to the federal government are reserved. So, are you pondering the blessing you have as a U.S. citizen, and more importantly, your responsibility and what you need to be doing? You're not listening to this show because life's a dream and, you know, government isn't involved in every facet of your life. You're listening to this show because government has overreached to a point of tyranny. And that is an unacceptable point. And as any U.S. citizen, anybody that was born under the rights of a U.S. citizen and been indoctrinated to just accept big government as the solution for everything, flies in the face of our real American heritage. So the other tools that we have are common law grand juries, as you know, and demanding and getting smart on these. Friends, just start typing you know, common law grand juries in your favorite search engine like DuckDuckGo. Don't use Google. Use DuckDuckGo. Because Google makes money for every search that you do, especially on the clicks that you take. DuckDuckGo doesn't make any money, or I should say they don't make any money, but DuckDuckGo doesn't keep track of what you're doing. They are autonomous. Now, the day Google buys out DuckDuckGo is the day that, you know, that'll all change. But at this point in time, they take pride in telling you, and as a matter of fact, I don't know what your favorite web browser is, but Firefox is getting it. Firefox is a browser that actually has containment areas for Facebook. They protect your privacy. They don't collect, supposedly they don't collect, if you don't want them to, they don't collect any data on you. Got to start getting smart on what products and tools to use, but even smarter on the tools the Constitution gives us, such as our First Amendment right, as well as common law grand juries, as well as the militia. You have a role and responsibility to participate in the militia. I don't care if you are, you know, in the organized, but if you're not doing anything and you don't have a weapon, you don't have a gun, it might be too late to buy one, but you better get your sorry self down to a gun store and buy yourself a gun. And people ask me, well, what's the one gun I should have if I'm going to have a gun? Well, at a minimum, you should have a shotgun. Now, depending on your, you know, size and frame, you may not want a 20 gauge. You may want a 20 or a 12 gauge. You may not want a 12 gauge. You may want a 20 gauge or a smaller gauge, because a 12 gauge could put you on your butt. So don't just get a shotgun and buy shells. Go get a shotgun, buy shells, and then take it out to a range or take it out somewhere where you can familiarize yourself with firing it and fire it. Fire it a bunch. Get your arm sore. Realize what it's going to take to truly fight for your freedom, because it's not sitting on a couch, sitting in a chair all weekend, all week, doing the same old thing and doing nothing to prepare yourself to be able to defend your life and your property, because it's going to boil down to that. Because when it comes down to communism, go look at the planks. Your life is a privilege garnered by government. They can take your life if necessary, because if they deem you a threat, you will be disposed of. Your property is theirs. Don't even think it's your property anymore under a communist rule. So, as I was saying in the first segment, when I use this imagery, I think it's very powerful, because here we've been squandering our life and all of our time in the land of liberty, and slowly but surely the communists over the past, and I'm telling you, it's been well over a century, they have been working in undermining our constitutional republic. They started revising history. They started creating idiots on constitution, and actually they've created constitutional illiteracy. They've moved us into paradigms of accepting godlessness. They've got us away from natural law and God's law, and got us believing in the law of the city, as Mr. Brent Winters puts it. So here we are, and here we're sitting in supposedly the land of liberty. But what I am telling you is, overnight, they've come in kind of like the body snatchers, the invasion of the body snatchers or something like that. While you've been asleep and while we've not been paying attention, they've put us into a deep sleep where we're dreaming our lives and the things really aren't affecting us, and we're completely numb to the reality. And what has actually happened is they've encased us in this paradigm and in this world. And even though this is an imaginary, but this is a metaphorical imagery I'm trying to provide, that when they jump off this cliff, leaving the land of liberty, taking all of us with it, They are paragliding across this large ocean, heading us to the land of lost liberty, to the land of communism, the land where you no longer have rights given to you by your creator. Your rights are determined by government and what is best for everyone. If you've been watching any of the science fiction movies or TV shows like Star Trek and so forth, even Stargate, most of them are introducing concepts of, you know, what's good for, you know, the whole is more important than what is good for the one. Those types of concepts are totalitarian concepts where the state actually has the full control. Anyway, we're going into a hard break. I don't want to bleed into it like last time, so we'll be right back after this, and I'll have that book for you in when we come back. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
All right. So, as I promised, that book, the name of the book is Liberal Fascism, like I said. And it's the subtitle, The Secret Society of the American Left, from Mussolini to the Politics of Meaning. You really should read this book if you want to see what it lies in our future, because history tends to repeat itself. It's not like it hasn't happened here in America before. But last time it happened under FDR and the big communist revolutions of the world, the reason America didn't necessarily go along with it is because there were still the fundamental principles, those core principles that were still embraced of Christianity. They realized, oh, we have to make America godless. We have to make America believe not in individual rights, but collective rights, that the rights of the many outweigh the rights of the one. And so, but see, here's the conflict we have. We also believe that it is far greater to let a guilty man go free than a innocent man to go to prison. But we're washing away those liberal paradigms that created this country, where people want the best. In other words, they want their bread buttered on both sides. And actually, I'll say all six sides of that piece of toast. They want full buttering in every way possible. They don't want consequences for their actions, and they want to be able to have all of the latitude in the world without any moral constraint. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it fascinating how far we've gone or how far we have fallen as a society? Anyway, you should really read this book. He identifies and gives you some really good insights as to where America went in its dark days of FDR and the progressive movement. I'm sure at this point, though, as we start to see things and as I point these things out, I think many of you are realizing that things are really changing around us. And I mean significant things such as your liberties and your rights. You will wear a mask. I remember whenever anything was mandated by our employer, the employer had to pay for it. But now government, as I have said, and I made this quote in one of my books, it was my first book, that nobody exerts power like government. Government has the power and the ability to kill, to do all sorts of damage. Corporations, companies, it is not in their best interest to be tyrannical, but it is in their best interest to support a tyrannical government to protect them and to control that government. And that's why tech industries has kind of worked together in this big collusion. And that's true. It's been a big conspiracy in creating a deep state and creating this this counter paradigm to what we understand as a free market and a free world, and moving us down this path where everything and every facet of our life is being controlled. Thank you for tuning in. I'm sorry I didn't say this sooner. And we have been bumping up in our listener drive. We just ask that you continue to do this. Continue to get people to start listening. At least get them to put their tip of the toe into the water so that they can at least make sure that it's safe to swim. One of the things we're going to get into probably in the next show is we want to get into some fundamentals. And when I say fundamentals, we're going to be talking about natural law. We're going to be talking about property. And as I've been telling you, the scale of liberty. We kind of want to lay this foundation out so people really start understanding why we have moral responsibilities to do good things, but we don't have a right, or we don't have, I'll just keep it as a right. We don't have a right for, you know, somebody to take care of us. There are consequences, and we must face consequences. Whenever we try to remove consequences, whenever we try to empower or aggrandize the safety net of society, all we do is enable bad behavior. We can't allow that to happen anymore. Anyway, as we've said, and as we've kind of gone through this, I want to kind of review a couple things before I get into some marketing, if we get into marketing today. One of the things I want to ask, and I want, because we talked about this yesterday, you need to do a belly count. You need to identify out of everybody who wins the election that is within your realm of influence, down to your prosecutors. Remember, Soros has been buying prosecutors who are refusing to actually prosecute the communists, the useful idiots, those people who will help further the cause. Oh, they'll prosecute you for speeding. They'll come after you for all sorts of atrocities. But I am here to tell you that they will not hold accountable these people that will burn down your building, your business, your family. That's okay. They're impoverished. They, you know, have nothing else. We can't hold them accountable. Are you kidding? And as a matter of fact, the people we really need to go after are the people that actually had and implanted these types of paradigms into the curriculum, into the agenda, into the narrative. I mean, if we are successful, I truly believe that when China starts clamoring and the rest of the countries of the world who have participated in the fraudulent debt of the American people. I believe that those people need to be given, or those nations need to be given, the people that were responsible in doing, committing, and engaging in these fraudulent acts. Let them extract their pound of flesh out of Obama. Let them extract their pound of flesh out of Pelosi. I don't care. These people didn't care. They didn't even care if what they were doing was wrong. They just did what they were told, and they had absolute callous and cavalier attitude with no regard for the law and understanding that there are consequences when one violates the law. They'll have a choice. Maybe we should just give them the choice of, we hang you, you'll be hanged, or we'll just turn you over to communist China or these other nations that are clamoring for their pound of flesh when they realize that all the fraudulent debt that we've taken on goes away. We're not going to pay it. We're not liable to pay it because government does not have a blank check. I want to be very clear here. We go through the jurisdictions of the government, and the things that they can spend money on and anything else that they're doing is fraud. If they don't have an amendment to the Constitution to actually pay for education, to pay for healthcare, to pay for these energy things that they're doing in energy and these realms of agriculture, the realms of labor, all of these things that they are doing, and they're charging us money to regulate and manage, it is all fraud. It's plain and simple. And the precedence is very clear that if a entity does not have the legal authority to exercise those powers within their jurisdiction, those powers aren't within their jurisdiction, then they are committing fraud. Now, if China didn't do the due diligence and the rest of the countries of the world and America was hoodwinking them, I don't care. We're not liable for all of that. We are liable for a few things. I've kind of had this, a debate with some conservatives, because some conservatives say we just got to get rid of Social Security. I believe that Social Security is one of those things we have to actualize because we have lied to our own people. We've committed fraud, and I don't believe that we necessarily, should be going down the path of causing that much harm. I believe that what we have to do is we have to end Social Security, but we also have to have basically an equitable process to make sure that either people are compensated for what they paid into it and or taken care of if they're needed to be taken care of. And as a matter of fact, the government should not be the ones administering Social Security moving forward. And I won't get into all of that, but Milton Friedman he was the one that was the visionary of how to end Social Security. And I mean, it is as simple as actualizing the debt and then just saying, okay, from this point on, we're not allowing you to put any more money into this. We're going to actualize this, and we'll pay for this out of our other taxes. So it may cause a period of austerity, but in 20 to 30 years, when those who are recipients of that start to die off and are no longer, the burden, and I don't want to say a burden, but a moral burden, because I believe society owes it to those people because they have been lied to and deceived by their own public servants. Anyway, let's see how many communists win out of this election. How's that sound? Remember these little lines, and we kind of covered these, and we'll probably have to go into this in the next break, but let's see how many communists win. Remember, they are the party of plagiarism. I mean, even the Communist Manifesto wasn't an original idea. It was plagiarism from Plato. I mean, they stole those concepts, those ideologies from Plato. Let's be honest. They are the party of hypocrisy, and they are the epitome of hypocrisy. When we come back, I'll just kind of finish this up and a few more things. Like I said, I don't know if we'll be back into the marketing, but if we don't, we'll try to cover marketing tomorrow as we dive into property and so forth moving forward. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, well, let me do a little bit of a go back to yesterday's comments, because one of the things that I think is really important for people to understand, because sometimes people don't necessarily place context to why people get involved. I do not believe, so there are ideologies that drive us. We'll get into those ideologies on the scale of liberty because it is the definer in society. You are either a person that wants people to live their life on their own terms. You want them to make their own decisions, give them the education necessary so they can choose what's best for them. But we do not believe those on the liberty side. We do not believe in compelling people to do our bidding or to do things. And so as we really look, and I kind of covered this in my book, that when you look at society and mankind, when we started going down the path, you know, when Adam and Eve left and they were, you know, basically trying to build the future of mankind, it didn't take long. I think slavery was introduced rather very quickly. Now, I want to put context to this. God commanded Adam that man must live by the sweat of his brow. So, when man started basically compelling others to sweat for their livelihood, for them to sustain themselves, in other words, when a person, man, or the state invokes slavery in compelling people to do things, then man has violated that fundamental commandment that man must live by the sweat of his brow. There is no greater. I remember some of the best feelings I had when I was a kid is when I earned my own money to pay for things, and I made the choice of what I bought. I remember when I was very young, I bought myself my very first album, and it was a Paul McCartney Ram album. It just came out, and I wanted to have that album, Ram. And my father, when I came home, and as a matter of fact, it was time to get a haircut, And that's when Dad used to take his time in, you know, lecturing me or trying to counsel me. And I've not fall far from the tree. But the point is that over the course of that very long haircut, my father tried to explain to me the economic factors of what and how we spend our money. And one of the things that was driven into me is that money is just like, you know, the Bible talks about the talents. And when we bury them or when we invest them wisely and magnify them, what do we do? How are we spending our opportunity costs and our actual investments, our actual property, or when I say money or whatever, how is it that we're managing our affairs? And so that lecture went as such that my father basically said, you do realize that by your buying that album, you are supporting the lifestyle of that man. And I said, well, okay. And he says, but do you, in so doing, do you believe that what that man is doing in his lifestyle is good? And as I look at it today, boy, I sure regret giving Paul McCartney any money, because and it's not just Paul McCartney, most of all these stars that have gotten politically active. I mean, just in the news yesterday, I believe Tracy Chapman was out there, you know, promoting this revolution of communism in America. Do you have a Tracy Chapman album? Do you have a Bruce Springsteen album? Do you have any music? Do you own any music of any of these folks? Now, this is where I tip my hat to those people who are involved in, you know, that like country music, love country music, what have you. There's not a lot of artists, the Dixie Chicks and a few others, that have gone progressive. And that's just because, you know, I guess country music kind of comes from the salt of America. And I just wanted to get back into, you know, giving you this paradigm of, you know, what we do with our money, how we basically have done things and how we make decisions on how we spend our money and supporting this or supporting that. And that kind of lends to what is it that drives people into, you know, getting involved in this party or that party. And as I started to say, it's ideologically driven. Do you believe in liberty or do you believe in compulsion? Paul McCartney supports compulsion. The elite, why is it that the elitists, the stars, these Hollywood fame and all of these other people that become influential, quote unquote, influential in your life? Because when they become the elite, they want protection and they don't believe that they should be treated like you. As I use as an example all the time, Bono or Springsteen, all of these people that are elitists that want to take from you to give to those who can't do for themselves, I say unto them, why don't you practice what you preach, you hypocrite? I would love to see Bono and all of these elitist stars, Chapman and everybody that has made money and made it to the top, take all of their earnings and, you know, and live in the average lifestyle, get rid of all the money that you have and give it to those struggling artists who aren't worth really the money that they're throwing at them to prove the point that they believe in what they preach, that they actually support the concept that we have to give to those without or those who can't or not as fortunate. And I'm telling you that all of these folks are hypocrites. That's why I basically said that the Democratic Party, the Communist Party, is the party of hypocrisy. They're the party of incarceration. When I say incarceration, what do you think this shutdown is? They believe they can control you. They can take you. They can take your livelihood away from you. They can do anything they believe is necessary. And this is why I've created these memes that no state, No government can create or make any law or enforce a law that abridges your individual privileges and immunities. They can't do it. The 14th Amendment trumps all other laws that were on the books, all laws needed to comply to the 14th Amendment. Emergency Powers Acts could not overturn any, even if it's a new Emergency Powers Act that has just been put into place in your state. Why is it that all of a sudden, go look at when every single one of these states started creating Emergency Powers Acts. You'll find it's ironic. You know, it goes back to just the beginning of this show today. I started talking about the fanfare for the common man. Why is it that we tend to associate music to, you know, our life? It's hard to basically define other than the fact that it goes all the way back to ancient religions. This is why when I do my Christmas show, I point out, go look at the copyright dates or the dates that these songs were written. Every Christmas song that you know. Every Christmas song that you know, and even ones you don't know, almost all of them were written back in the mid-1800s. There's a reason for that, because that was the beginning of the new era of creating a paradigm of Christmas in embracing paganism. And I don't want to take the air out of the show or the surprise out of my Christmas show. But the fact of the matter is there is an integral or a symbiotic relationship between music and ideologies and so forth. And this is why music can be so influential. And this is why, you know, the fanfare for the common man for this show was chosen, because I want to use the fanfare for the common man for our rights, for our individual rights, not collective rights, that the common man has a voice in our constitutional republic, unlike the original design in that submission. And I hope that Stuart Copeland, Aaron Copeland, I think he's the drummer for the Police. Anyway, I tell you, I'm bad with names. Aaron Copeland and the fan for the common, I hope that he's, you know, not rolling over in his grave to realize that his song is actually being used for something of good value, that is something to restore and rebuild the principles that created this country. That's why we're reclaiming the republic, and that's why we need your help. But I will also tell you that this party, this Communist Party, is the party of destruction. They supported and do the direct destruction of fires, violent protests. And what good communist wouldn't participate in violent protests or damaging property to further their cause? This is the party that is seeking control of every facet of our life. This is the party that wants to do away with your citizenship. They want to create a global citizen, and you being a citizen of the United States is to mean nothing soon unless you defend it. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.